Dream Vision 7 Radio Network welcomes Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Heard every Monday at 11 a.m. and 11 p.m. Eastern Time. Using nearly 200 years of abundant and consistent afterlife evidence, quantum physics, consciousness research, and ancient writings, we seek to understand who and what we are, how reality works, the nature of God, and the meaning and purpose of our lives. Join Roberta weekly to better understand our one reality and gain insights into how we can make the most of the glorious eternal beings that we are.
Welcome to Seek Reality with your host, Roberta Grimes. Author and attorney Roberta Grimes will explore and illustrate how she, after an extraordinary experience of light in childhood, has discovered channels of communication to the afterlife and how these implications have an effect on our everyday lives. Please welcome the host of Seek Reality, Roberta Grimes.
Welcome to Seek Reality. I'm Roberta Grimes. Ever since it first occurred to someone to stand up and walk on his hind legs, mankind has been in complete ignorance of what actually is going on. To comfort ourselves, we've made up gods that are a lot like us with all our own failings, and we've wasted time doing scientific research that to this day is based on the naive assumption that this universe is objectively real and solid, and that once we figure it out, we'll know everything. Here we are, nearly 20% of the way through the 21st century, and still we remain in such abject ignorance. For scientists and religionists to claim that they have it all figured out when their ideas are based in bogus assumptions, so in fact they have almost nothing figured out, is an insult to us all. And until the supposed experts start to get a clue, you and I are stuck with trying to understand what's going on by open-mindedly studying the evidence on our own. We have got to do this ourselves, and fortunately, we can do it ourselves. Backed by popular demand is the noted afterlife researcher and educator Sandra Champlain. Sandra was so afraid to die that she set out to learn the truth for herself. So she got right down into the trenches and she tried out everything. She figured it out. As anyone who actually studies the evidence can figure it out for yourself. Sandra satisfied her own curiosity, made herself no longer afraid, but she did more than that. Now she is an evangelist for the truth. Sandra Champlain is the host of a worldwide radio show called We Don't Die Radio. She's the author of the number one bestseller, We Don't Die, A Skeptic's Discovery of Life After Death. She's a host of a wonderful audio called How to Survive Grief. And she's the subject of a documentary film called We Don't Die. She is working hard now to spread the truth. Welcome, Sandra. I hope you're there.
Dear Roberta, hello.
There you are, dear. I'm so glad you got through. I think the snow even though neither of us is anywhere near Florida, I think the storm is playing havoc with everything, unfortunately. But
yeah, it's okay. I don't give up. That's one thing you know about me.
That's one thing I know about you. So let's just we want to talk about some other things this time than the
sure.
interesting things you did to try to figure out what's going on. But first, were you really afraid to die, afraid of death?
I was beyond afraid. If there was a word for that, going to bed at night, I couldn't handle not knowing if I would go on if something were to happen to me. Every time my mind got quiet and I wasn't busy working, I would think, what happens to us after we die? What happens to me? Will I go on? It was a personal thing. It really wasn't about humanity at the time. It was very selfish. Yeah. But I could not handle the fear and the unknown.
And how old were you then about? Were you very young then?
No, it was 20 years ago. So I'm 50 now, 30.
Yeah.
My early 30s is when I started this journey.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
And where did you start? We all have a place where we begin. This is an enormous topic. So did you start doing reading? Was that what you did?
I did start doing reading. I actually started with my own religion. I grew up Roman Catholic, and I thought, certainly there's got to be something within my own religion that's going to rest my fears. And not that the Bible isn't great and the stories from Jesus isn't great, but none of those stories were enough to rest my fears. Great information about faith, but that in and of itself didn't do it. So nope. I just started reading about other religions. Maybe somebody else had the goods. And same thing. Other great stories, and most of the major world religions do believe in life after death, but as great as the information was, it still wasn't enough to rest my fears. So very secretly, you know, my subtitle is A Skeptic's Discovery of Life After Death, because Roberta, right. I used to badmouth anybody that would believe in going to psychics and mediums and those kind of people. But I very secretly just started doing some research. Is there any evidence in this world of reincarnation, of near-death experiences, of psychics and mediums? And and that's how it all began. And it was a weekend trip to actually visit a medium and learn how mediumship is done, when in my own mind I was able to produce accurate details about other people's dead loved ones, that skeptic Sandra started actually opening my mind to there's got to be something else possible if I'm able to do this. And so it's been since 1996 till now that I have all kinds of good information on it, and I know life after death is real.
But what's interesting is that you had to do it yourself. You couldn't read about it. You had to actually have the experience of speaking to someone's dead relatives and getting good information yourself. So you are a skeptic par excellence.
Yes. My goodness. My parents taught us, and my dad was very analytical. He was an airline pilot, and you know, you have to see it to believe it. And you know, that's probably from his upbringing as well. And the truth is, you don't have to see it to believe it. Once you believe something, very often you see it after. So I mean, it's really interesting. It's a whole new way to live life.
Well, we're going to talk about about the process more, and more about religion and all of those things. But I want to make an important point first to everyone who's listening. There are some extraordinary experts on life after death, on the process, on everything. We know all this stuff cold. And the problem is, almost everybody who's doing this work is retirement age, in some cases nearing the age of 80. So our problem has become that we need a new generation of people to do this work. And what excites me about getting to know Sandra, we've become quite good friends, is that she can carry on after us. There'll be a day before too long when my friends in this work and I will all be in the bleacher seats and cheering on everyone who's here, trying still to get the truth to dawn on the people who are trying to prevent the truth from ever being known. And Sandra is someone who's going to be able to do that fight for us. It's exciting, frankly.
You can count on me. Yes.
Isn't that wonderful? I just love hearing that. There are other young people too that we're now nurturing and bringing along who have the ability, have the knowledge, have the patience, and frankly have the drive and the grit to carry on. What is this? It's strange we should have to do this, because we do have people who could do it much better than Sandra and I and all our friends could do it. I mean, there are scientists who could do this easily and well, but they refuse to do it. They'd rather pretend that reality is solid and go about their bogus research into nothing. Until they get a clue, I really have a lot of confidence that Sandra and a few others who we're finding who are just as wonderful and just as able to be strong, they're going to be able to carry this on ahead of us. So I want you to get to know Sandra, and that's why I've invited her back. She was on again with us quite recently to talk more specifically about her research process, which by itself, by the way, is fascinating. And her book is so much fun because it's largely an account of her own attempts to figure this out. I couldn't put it down when I read it. So you had this wonderful early experience with being somebody's medium when you didn't even think maybe mediums were real. And you started to do more research too. What was it that made it all click for you so you stopped being afraid? Do you remember that moment?
Yeah, well, the thing was, the medium thing in and of itself opened the door that there's something more to it. So I felt the fears starting to calm. And then the more I dug reading about reincarnation, I mean, some stories that just can't be people making things up and near-death experiences. And and meeting spirit artists, people that can actually draw pictures of your deceased loved ones who are mediums. I started for myself, like the fear was almost gone. But then I started feeling like, gosh, it sure would be nice if I could share this with other people and have the confidence to do so. The problem with me learning mediumship is it appears to me like my imagination. And so many times I was very accurate, but many times I was not accurate because it was just my imagination. And I kind of, I'm not a very religious person, but I threw out there to God, the universe, if I'm supposed to help people with this, because I know there's a lot of people grieving the loss of a loved one. And this information at that time, I thought really would help others. But it's like, if I'm supposed to do something, like, give me a sign. And lo and behold, I picked up a book at Barnes & Noble at the time, which was called An Idiot's Guide to Communicating with Spirits. Because, Roberta, I wanted to know one way or the other. If I had this, how do I perfect it? But what I found in the book, it was written by a woman who was a spirit artist. Rita Berkowitz is her name. And throughout the book, there were pictures of people, portraits of that she drew, and then also photographs as they lived. And so I felt this dire need to meet her, and I found out that she lived maybe half hour from me in Massachusetts. Like, all these synchronistic things were lining up. But I got to attend her church, and she was as a minister in spiritualism. And for those who don't know, at the end of every spiritualist church service, the minister is also a medium, and she'll go throughout the congregation and share whose deceased loved ones are present, not to do any new age thing, but to just prove the continuity of life and that our lives are for a purpose. Beautiful thing. But on this particular day that I went, she had a couple talk about electronic voice phenomena, which is EVP. Some people have heard about that. And that's using a tape recorder or digital tape recorder to record the sound of nothing, some background noise, and then to play it back and have voices on it. And to make a long story short, I ended up taking a weekend retreat with a couple that at the time were running the AAEVP, American Association for Electronic Voice Phenomena. You know, I always go right to the top when I'm going to learn something.
Of course.
And during the weekend, there I was with my tape recorder, and I had a quiet moment in my own cabin. There was only rain outside.
Who were you with?
Tom and Lisa Butler.
See, Tom Butler. I was our guest a couple of weeks ago. He's a delightful man. Tom and Lisa Butler are just wonderful people. So, all right, now we can picture who you were with when this happened. So tell me the story.
Yeah. So, well, first of all, in their weekend retreat, there were only, I think, five or six of us that were there to learn. And everyone had lost a close loved one and wanted some to hear their voice, wanted some proof. And so out of Tom and Lisa Butler's own recording devices, we heard plenty of examples of EVPs, of voices coming from beyond, that I knew this was real. But until I personally got one, I felt like I still wouldn't have the confidence to share with other people everything I learned about life after death. So on this particular evening, it was the Saturday night, the class ended on Sunday, I went to my cabin alone. I was in the woods. And, you know, it was a nice retreat center, so it wasn't anything scary, but it was pouring rain outside. And I thought, well, maybe the sound of the rain would be good background noise, because you always need background noise. And they say that the deceased folks can manipulate the sounds once they're in the tape recorder to change them into voices. Now, how they do that, I don't know, but they do.
They're very clever. Yes. All right. So
they
what happened?
So I'm sitting on my twin bed in this little cabin. And I really believe I'm talking to myself, but I imagine my grandmother, my grandfather, my aunt and uncle at the foot of my bed. And I just said, I pressed the record button and I said, okay, if you guys are here and this is real and I'm supposed to help people believe in life after death, I need you to do me a favor and try to speak really loud to get your voice on my tape recorder. I said, I'm going to just be quiet, and then I'm going to say goodnight. You know, so that was it. And, of course, I was thinking I'm talking to myself. So I let let it record for just a minute, and then I just whispered, okay, goodnight. Okay, that's it. So I played it back, and you have to know, when we were in classroom, Tom Butler had everybody upload their audios onto his computer so he could boost the sound and he could loop it over and over and over so he could really listen in for these sounds. I didn't have any of that. I just had my headphones plugged into the digital tape recorder. And Roberta, when the tape recorder hit second number 43, my body was filled with goosebumps because it says in a man's voice, "Good night, Sandra." And then two women whisper, "Good night, good night." And then another man's voice comes in and says, "Good night."
Isn't that fabulous? And it was unmistakable.
Unmistakable. Wow. And just absolutely incredible. And I want to say that it excited me, but it actually scared me because I just thought, oh my gosh, these people really are here.
And they know me by name.
Yes. And then I brought the recording into the classroom the next day, and there are different classes of EVP. Class A is one that everyone can hear. No doubt about it, that's what they say. And that's what I have, a Class A. And there's also Class B and Class C that are just like whispers that you're really thinking, did he say this? Did he say that?
Yeah.
And so this was a Class A. But what happened in that moment is the five other people in that classroom, I could see the look on their face that they knew their loved ones were around and life after death was real.
Fabulous. Oh, wow. Yes. Now you're in a position of wanting to get the word out. When did you first realize there was opposition to this from scientists? What was your first understanding that maybe this was not going to be greeted with joy by everybody?
Oh, it was right away, just knowing how... Not only that I was a skeptic, but I used to badmouth people who believed in this. So my understanding, this was almost as scary as my fear of dying, is I can't possibly let anybody know that I'm interested in this because they'll think I'm crazy. When my book came out, Roberta, honest to God, even when my book came out, my day job is I'm a chef and I work with race car teams. So great, glamorous, fun, hard work.
Yes.
But one of my race car drivers' fathers owns a print company. And I didn't realize this, but right after the book came out, he showed up at a racetrack with a 10-foot tall by like 3.5-foot banner that says, "Is there proof of life after death? Sandra Champlain says yes," with my picture on it. A picture of the book, and he says, "Oh, so now you can have a book table at the racetrack." I was petrified that the people in my life would think I was crazy. I'm like, I can't put this up. You know, I had no intention of coming out like that because most people don't believe in life after death, are more on the scientific side and thinking that, you know, there's no proof for it, no absolute proof. And I thought I would be ridiculed. Even sitting next to someone on an airplane, Roberta, to this day, when someone says, "Oh, are you flying on business or pleasure?" You know, most of the times it is business for the racing. But the voice inside my head says, "Tell him about the book." And then I fight myself. I can't tell him about the book. Look at this professional guy. He's going to think I'm crazy. But you know what I do? I step into the fear and say, "And I also have written a book." And they may or they may not say, "Well, what book is it? You know, anything I've heard of?" And I always have a copy and I say, "This is my book." And 9 times out of 10, people have lost a loved one that I'm sitting right next to. And I end up giving them a copy of the book. And I have a new friend for life. And only once did somebody go, "Oh, that's great." Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I've had that same experience. I've come to believe that spirit actually does orchestrate where we sit on airplanes because many times the person sitting right next to me because at this point in my life, one of the great things about being 20 years older than you are is I'm not shy. I don't care what anyone thinks of me now.
I'm getting stronger.
but when I tell them what I've written about, so many times people want to hear about it. I agree with you. That's a wonderful feeling to be able to help a perfect stranger to come to have some kind of peace. And it helps to pass the flight time too, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
But you obviously have become a lot less shy, which I think is a wonderful thing. You now hang the banner in the tent, right? At the racetrack.
I don't care what people say. You know, I'm very respectful. I am. People say they don't believe in it. I thought, that's great. Great. Okay. I'm going back to work.
Right.
But more times than not, people do. And one thing I wanted to bring up, because you just asked the question about science and religion, and they don't want to believe, or whether they do or they don't publicize it, is I've done a lot of research on the human, I call it the voice, you know, the little negative voice we all have in our mind.
Right.
We all, and it's not always negative, but a lot of the times it is. And even if you're listening right now, you need to take a quiet second. You're going to hear yourself say, one little voice in my head. Well, that's the little voice. It's the one that's always, it's the one that's always dictating. And,
right.
And I've done some research. Some people call it the ego. Some people call it the committee. You know, like I said, I call it the voice. But as human beings, we all have this. And most of the time, it's not empowering. You know, you don't wake up in the morning and look in the mirror and go, oh, my God, you're gorgeous. You're going to have the best day ever. Instead, we hit the snooze button. You know, I look in the mirror. I see too many gray hairs or too many pounds around my waist or whatever, and I say something
yes.
negative. Well, that voice, Roberta, very often it needs to be right. Like, how many times do you hear people that will just fight for being right about something? You know, the voice, it needs, you know, our ego needs to be in control. We need to be recognized. We
yes.
need to look good. And I think people from maybe the science or maybe even religious backgrounds, you know, they find themselves in a state of being an authority. And if you take the voice that needs to be right and needs to be in control, needs to be recognized, needs to be someone, does never wants to look bad, needs to be important, which is something we all have in us, and add to that perhaps the well-known feeling that, I don't know, psychics, mediums, people get their cards read, you know, that's all not real. I think that all tends to have people really stick with this, if you can't see it, it can't be real, or really stick to their guns about there's no evidence of life after death. Near-death experience is just what happens when the brain shuts down. It's not possible.
Yes.
Or, you know, really
yes.
gung-ho with religion. You know, I think it's not just the human being. I think left to our own devices, I think people do have their thoughts of maybe this is possible. But bring them together in a group of their peers or a group of their congregation, you know, they have to rise above. And this is just my opinion, but a lot of it has to do with our egos. And and I can think of how scared I was to come out about it. And I'm
yes.
just a cook, right?
Yes,
you know,
yes.
I'm not a...
No, but clearly, that's especially a problem for people in the scientific field, because they have invested their whole careers in a fallacy. And the fallacy is that this reality is actually real. It's solid. Even though
right.
they now understand it's not solid, there's still a hope that it's something real. And I could tell you all kinds of stories about the things I've read and the things I've heard that just don't make any sense even to them. And yet they have to say it because they went to school. They've got a PhD. This is what they do for a living. The kids have to go
yes.
to college. They can't change their course now. I think that the religious people have a somewhat different problem, that of course, but also Christianity is the easiest thing in the world, and we're suddenly telling them it's a lot more complicated than you think, and believe me, they don't want to hear that. But Sandra, talk about how you got into podcasting. I mean, I know for me it was just happenstance. I was called by someone who said, hey, you have a good voice for radio. I said, sure. And that was almost three and a half years ago. And
well,
the rest is history.
Fun.
But how did you get started?
Yeah, I keep thinking that I've got some guides that are whispering in my ear what I need to do. I had a friend of mine who wanted to start a podcast on business, and I didn't know how to start a podcast, neither did he, but I did the research, and I actually got him started as his co-host for a few episodes. And then something happened where I realized I had been a guest on so many people's radio shows, which was great, but a big part of Sandra was continuing to learn and read books and things like that. And I thought, geez, now I don't really even have time to read. And then it hit me, like, you know what? If I got my friend Travis started on a podcast, I betcha I could interview people about life after death. I could learn about something new. I could meet someone new, because you know me, I love meeting new people. And then even better, I could share it. And I thought, I bet you there's somebody out there who'd like to listen to these recordings. So I already knew how to get started from helping him. And so I just found a way to record. And then I bought the domain name, wedontdieradio.com. And I just started airing them. And then a friend of mine knew how to put them on YouTube. She put them on YouTube. They went on iTunes. They're on TuneIn Radio. Now they're on everything you can imagine. And I have at least 2,000 daily listeners. And that's just from a couple places that I can keep track of them. I think there's many more than that. And in yes. that, not only am I learning and sharing, because every episode, Roberta, is to ask people, why do you believe in life after death? So I've had doctors on and scientists on and hospice workers and people have had near-death experiences and mediums and psychics and you and lots of great people. But all the life after death stuff is great. But then I say, okay, so with your belief in life after death, how do you live your life? Because yes. each episode is designed for every single one of us, including me and you, the guest, to get that you are a soul having a human experience, that many of these situations, as hard as they may be, we picked for our soul to grow. So it's to empower people to live a great life. And so people have not committed suicide because of the show. People have re-fallen in love with their partner. They have found their life's purpose. Wow. I get emails from people all over the world. And then, yes. and I love them because, I mean, they change my life. You know, I can't be having a bad day and then, same probably as you. You can't have an episode and not leave with a smile on your face and really getting that life is for so much a bigger, bigger purpose. So that's how that all came about. And I love, love, love doing them.
Yes, it's obvious that you do because you're just each podcast is a song of joy. We're going to why don't you say now how people can hear you? And then we're going to say it again at the end of the next segment. But how can people find
sure.
you? Your podcasts?
Well, it's wedontdieradio.com, and there is no apostrophe in the don't, wedontdieradio.com. And as a gift, because I know time is short here, there's a button that says click on the Insiders Club to receive free gifts. Well, you can read my whole experience of why I believe in life after death, my whole journey. There's a copy of the audio, How to Survive Grief, and a bunch of other good things. Wow. On that. So that's my gift to you. And there's 100 right now, as of this date, there's 116 episodes that will give you goosebumps to your core of why you can believe in life after death and that your loved ones are still around and that you, my friend who's listening, are a gigantic soul who has a body, who is here on planet Earth for so much a bigger purpose than you probably even know. But you will go on.
But part of what's fun about this is that I hear from a lot of people who also listen to you, Sandra. They'll say, well, every week I listen to you, I listen to Sandra. That it doesn't even occur to them that we shouldn't be paired. And some of them met me through you and some met you through me. So I think that the reason it works is that we're in similar sort of fields, but your focus is a little bit different. It's primarily on the mm-hmm. proof of life after death. And I'm ranging sort of more broadly now, but mm-hmm. people find it very complimentary, and we have had a lot of the same guests too, which makes it kind of fun.
So
you've been doing podcasting. What else are you doing to reach out to people?
What am I doing to reach out to people? I'm doing some public speaking. I have done many YouTube videos sharing my message. I am pairing up with mediums in different locations that I will talk about, just calling the evening We Don't Die. And so I pair up with a medium and they will do a medium presentation and I'll share my journey. And wow. I'm That's sure great. I know there's more. Yeah. And I'm developing more stuff and looking for other avenues. I want to have a We Don't Die cruise, which you and your listeners will be a guest to. I mean, just to have like-minded people all sharing the same conversation and really out to improving our lives.
that's exciting, because what I'm finding is that more and more people really want to know, and they like coming together with other people who are also seeking and learning from one another too. This is, having been doing this since only actually 2010 was when The Fun of Dying came out. It's not a long time, but it seems that I've seen so much growth, haven't you, in the kind of the number of people and in the level of interest in this field?
Oh, to see the rate at even my show growing, and I have never advertised it once. It's people that listen, probably the same with you, and they'll tell two friends, and they'll tell two friends.
Yes.
And I didn't even realize there's a whole bunch of groupies that, you know, I tried this. I listened to this guest. They said to try this, and now I'm having these results in my life. And it's like, wow. I go often to the Daytona Speedway in Florida for the races, and, you know, one lady wrote me, I just passed the Daytona Speedway, and I thought of you. And, you know, it's just like there's a community being built. And people, when we can belong to something, we can really grow as human beings and feel good and prosper. So I think together, and even the other people involved in this mission, we are creating a community that's going to be so strong that is going to bypass all the naysayers and skeptics and people that don't believe.
My guest is the wonderful Sandra Champlain, and she and I are working with a lot of other people in our own individual ways to help everybody on earth come to understand the fact that we are eternal beings having a brief human experience. We never will die. We never began, and we never will end. And it's all good news, because the afterlife is way more fun than anyone's ever told you. All of that is such good news. But it's hard when we are stonewalled by both religion and science. And so, I mean, I'm starting to wonder more and more what was going to be the breakthrough event. What is going to make it happen that suddenly it's impossible for the stonewalling to continue? And Sandra, do you have thoughts? What do you think is going to happen?
I do. And you'd asked me this question earlier, and I just got the vision of the Wright brothers when they started flying way back in the early 1900s. People said it is impossible for anything heavier than air to fly, period.
Right.
Nobody
right.
would look at it. Nobody would be interested. These guys went for 4 years to finally perfect an aircraft, and still nobody believed them. They got it flying with its own engine and everything, and they went to the U.S. government, and they thought it was a hoax. So what happened was the Wright brothers would go to different fields around the area, and they would fly for small groups of people, and those small groups of people ended up telling other people, and they'd fly for larger groups of people. And before too long, enough groups of people, not the government, not the scientists, not the all those kind of people, but just regular people, were the ones that were able to talk to the big guys and say, I've seen it. It's real. And I think, and now look at us, we fly all over the place.
Yes.
We don't even give it a second thought, air travel
right.
and space travel, all because of these guys that didn't give up. And so with what we are doing, and also with what your listeners, my listeners, and everybody else involved in life after death, we're regular people. We don't need to have a PhD and a doctorate and all those things. We can just be ourselves. When we have an experience for ourselves that we know the truth, and there's more of us that jump on the bandwagon, every scientist, every religious person, every human being, I believe, wants to know that their life matters, that it's for a purpose. I talked to a doctor who said every time he puts someone into anesthesia before having an operation, every single one of them prays. They want it to be real. They want there to be a God. They want to know that
yes.
there's a hereafter. So we want that, but it's going to take all of us, call us little guys, but you know, just regular people that are going to be the ones to change the conversation and finally get to those people. Because we're all, you know, we may have a close friend who's a scientist or a doctor or somebody or a religious person. And when you tell enough stories, like I said, I have 116 episodes that give you goosebumps. You listen to those, it's like, oh my gosh, life after death is real. And then you tell someone, it may just be a friend who's in the clergyman or in science. And after enough people saying the same conversation, you know, hey, an airplane is real. Life after death is real. And that's what I think it's going to take. Yeah.
So what you're saying is that really everybody listening to us today has the power to make a difference in that process just by telling friends, by learning all you can yourself, and just by beginning to live eternally. Because what I've learned, and I think you have as well, is that when you really, really know it's true, it really changes everything in your life, and you're living on an eternal scale that makes such a huge difference. And when everybody's doing that, it's going to be everybody. Yeah. Will be being a lot sort of more, it'll be more important to people to be ethical than to be rich. It's going to change everything. I'm sorry, what were you going to say?
Oh, but just for every one of us to know that we have this voice inside of our head that is going to be afraid, might not want to say something. And the thing is you don't have to push anything. You just can say, hey, have you heard this Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes? Have you heard We Don't Die? You know, do you have any thoughts about life after death? And most people want to know. And so it's not being pushy. It's just giving people the opportunity. And, you know, when we think, I mean, you may be a little different than me, Roberta, but I spend so much time with my day job that I very often forget that I'm even involved in this world of life after death. As human beings, I don't know if we're supposed to remember 24/7 that we're these eternal souls. I think part of the game of being human is to forget who we really are. But now it's the time to remember. It's a time to be courageous. It's a time to share, because we all want our loved ones and our friends to have the best life possible. And if you're not afraid of dying, I say you won't be afraid of living. You can go after your dreams. You can do some fun things. You can have great relationships. The most glorious, fun-filled, adventurous life is on the other side of our fears. So take the risk and share.
Yes, what I think is absolutely true is that I've discovered in my own life and the lives of others is that fear of death is the core fear. That seems to be the fear from which all other fears spring. So when you no longer fear death, you really no longer fear anything. And so you're right, Sandra. You can live a much more wonderful life in all respects when you just conquer that fear of death. And we're here to say it's not only possible, but it's really not that hard if you just learn what's going on and start sharing it with other people and start living it. And I'm not afraid. Yeah. Not only am I not afraid, it's some sort of looking. Christmas and my birthday one day will come, and that'll be the day I get to go home. That's where you get to be. Once you really get it, that's the way the world changes. And I'm going to be talking next week about how all of us are understanding that we'll really be able to change the things in this world that we don't like. But Sandra, talk about how people can reach you. And again, tell us what the websites are and stuff.
Oh, sure. My name is Sandra Champlain, and you can reach me at WeDon'tDieRadio.com. That's the easiest way. There's a contact Sandra button. And the name of my book is We Don't Die, A Skeptic's Discovery of Life After Death, which is available wherever you buy books.
I just have to put in a little plug for your book again, because it sounds like it might be a book of evidence or somewhat dry, but the same personality that Sandra's displaying here is all through that book. And it's really fun to read, because she's in some cases ineptly, in other cases just kind of courageously, but hysterically, she's doing the things that rather than reading about them, she's trying all of these things which the New Age people used to be able to do, and she's succeeding. I can't get over it. I haven't tried any of these things, and I'm not sure I want to, but it makes the book fun. I mean, you're there with her as she learns by herself. She learns for herself what's true and what's real. And Sandra, thank you so much for being with us. We'll have you back again before long to talk about all of this stuff. You've been listening to Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Thank you so much for joining us. My dear friend, you are a powerful, eternal being. You never began and you never will end. And when you fully understand everything that means, your life is going to be transformed for the better. I can't wait to see it happen for all of you. Our guest next week is going to be your host. We all know the world is falling apart. I grew up in the 1950s, and even during the depth of the Cold War, I mean, we were learning in school how to duck and cover in a nuclear attack, for heaven's sake. Even then, the world was a safer and healthier place in every way than it is now. You and I know that. Those were the golden times, and who knew it? Next week, we'll talk about why the mess is that the world now is around us, why it happened, and how it's actually our own fault. We'll also talk about why that's good news. It's good news because since we're causing the problem, we have the power to make things right. And more than that, we have the power to make of this world a more perfect creation forevermore. We can do it, and it won't even be hard. This may be the most important message I'll ever share with you, so please join us next week. This week, we've been talking with the extraordinary podcast host and rising star in the afterlife field, my dear friend, Sandra Champlain. Sandra set out to learn the truth about the afterlife by doing a lot of her own research firsthand, and then once she knew the truth, she became determined to share it with everyone. Her delightful book, We Don't Die, is a bestseller. Her podcast of that name has a worldwide reach, and many people who listen to me tell me they also listen to her. I'm not jealous at all. In fact, I'm hoping you'll do the same. Most of the leaders in the field of afterlife research are past retirement age, and what we most need now are these young leaders who can carry on this work when my retirement age friends and I are all sitting in the bleacher seats cheering them on. Sandra Champlain will be one of those leaders. My dear friends, the truth always wins, but sometimes winning takes time. I think it's going to be Sandra's generation of leaders that gets to carry the banners and hold the parades, and many of you who are listening now are going to be carrying those banners too. This is such a wonderful time to be alive. As you know, my nonfiction books are Liberating Jesus, My Thomas, Flying High in Spirit, The Fun of Dying, The Fun of Staying in Touch, and The Fun of Growing Forever. Dear friends, it's very important to me that you understand that I want to help each of you to do this work. I'm trying to make it possible for everybody to know the truth and be comfortable with the truth. I hear from people every day. There are days when I really don't have time to do much except to answer questions, and that's my joy. So if there's anything about this that you want to talk about, that you're worried about or you wonder about, don't hesitate to go to robertagrimes.com and send me an email. Read my blog, or maybe just say hello. I always answer emails. If you don't hear in 24 hours, send flowers. Meanwhile, this has been Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Please enjoy and make the most of this coming week in our one reality, knowing that you are a powerful, eternal being, and you are infinitely loved.
This has been Seek Reality with your host, Roberta Grimes. Tune in each week and discover the nature of reality and God, past, present, and future, in a way that can only be told by Roberta Grimes on the next episode of Seek Reality.